CJLO 1690M, Grade A Explosives. You just heard some Dead Tire there before the break with Predatory Loans off of Satan Will Follow You Home and some Prepare the Ground interview, part three of it. And then some Botfly before that with Lower Than Love off the album of the same name. I just wanted to cut in here to say if you missed any of this, you can feel free to go to CJLO's website this week when I re-upload it, and you can listen to it there. And let's get back into the interview where we start talking about the lineup of the fest. So keep it locked, CJLO, 1690M, Grade A Explosives, Hour 2, and more of this interview coming up. Let's talk a bit about the lineup for Prepare the Ground, because it is, as I said, stacked. There is a lot of stuff going on. I would go through and mention all the bands, but that would take entirely too long, and I'll just tell people to go to preparetheground.com and see all of them.
I could probably speed run it.
I'm interested to see how that works.
Okay.
You ready? 40 Watt Sun, Atarook, Amoir, Amulets, Bleeding Out, Body Void, Botfly, Burning Love's Reunion, Chain to the Bottom of the Ocean, Cinderwell, Concavity, D-Boy, Dead Tire, Deathneal, Dismal Aura, Dreamwell, Drowse, Amaruth Rundle, Extinction AD, Form, Grieber, Hellish Rebuke, Jetsam, Ken Mode, Neural, Contravoid, Liturgy, Maggot Heart, Mares of Thrace, Marissa Nadler, Matt Ball, Mike Scheit of Yob, Minuscule, Moss Harvest, North of America, Abreus Sky, Adonis Adonis, Orchids Reunion, Plaque Blague, Planning for Burial, Ragana, Performing Desolation's Flower, Respire, Sea, Shrewd, Skin, Sunrot, Terminal Nation, Fantafash, They Grieve, This Is Hell, Tomb Mold Tribunal, Tunic, Uniform, Unwell, Vile Creature, Valour, Vivia, Melancholia, Witching, Yellow Eyes, playing Immersion Trench Reverie, as well as the currently unannounced, but announced by the time this radio show comes out, Vermin Womb will be playing, as well as Sissy Spacek. And Fantafash will also be playing their seminal album, Sacred White Noise, start to finish.
Damn. Okay. Well, then, you took the challenge and you conquered it. I mean, I went through and I saw all these. If there's more, I don't know about. I have no idea. But
there might
very
be.
Impressive. You also mentioned that there might be, like, second sets from people. And, well, we went over some bands that have been announced. So I guess I could, I guess I can then ask, is that then what you have here, the complete lineup you have, in addition to the ones that you've already mentioned that aren't on there that will be on once this airs? Okay.
So something that we're taking to heart, and I'm happy to answer any questions about any specific bands you wanted to talk about. That just seemed like a fun thing to do. Yeah, so something we are doing specifically, there are bands who will not be announced for this festival who technically we are stupid for not putting on to the poster.
Okay.
that will be playing the festival. There are bands on this flyer who will be playing multiple different sets completely that will not be announced on separate days. A big thing that I love about my festival experience is the unexpected. I love a surprise. I love a you had to be there moment, I think, is always really wonderful. And giving people value, having them trust you to know, listen, we're going to do something really rad. And I promise, if you are somewhere, you're going to see something you don't expect. It's what I want from a book. It's what I want from a TV show. It's what I want from a show I go to. So we have really, whether it's bands that have been announced playing second sets on completely different days, or bands that have not and we will not announce until an hour before they play, playing the festival, coming from out of town to play, that are unannounced, we've got a lot of different weird, fun, wonderful surprises in store for the festival. We wanted to make sure people had a great time and that, you know, we announced, like I said, it's like 63 bands is what we have announced. We still have a pre-party to announce that's going to be very fun on the Thursday. That is a very unexpected show that will be free for people to attend. We've got a lot of stuff in the works. It's been a thrill to put together, and I feel like it's going to be a thrill to be at.
Yeah, that is something that festivals don't really tend to do. Well, I mean, they do over in Europe where, you know, they understand how to do these things. But, like, those kind of, like, surprise moments aren't something that really happens at a lot of festivals in a major way. Like, they'll be like, oh, well, this band happens to be around for an extra day, so they're going to play something. But there's not really a, like, you know, large mystery surprise type of thing. That's very cool to have that planned out.
I've seen so many Bills in my life, and I felt re-inspired by KW's lineups that will be dropped. And then there are some secret sets that I'm just like, what the fuck? Like, I'm just like, come on, you know, like it's like that. So yeah, that part of going to shows, especially at walking festivals, really needs to be there. So.
Yeah, and the two things I will say, it's one of my favorite type of surprise, which is a hint for people coming, though it is not revealing anything, is the idea of seeing a significantly large band in a significantly small place is a wonderful, wild thing that can only happen at a festival or like a crazy unannounced show that you'd never see. Like when bands used to say, here's a fake name, we're playing a show, and then they would do their warm-up show. I saw At the Drive-In did that before their big comeback show. They just came in. I think they did a show in El Paso, Texas at 100 capacity bar. I don't know the name, but it was just like Relationship Command playing tonight. And At the Drive-In played at 100 cap bar. Kitty just did that last year. The When We Were Young festival, the first day was canceled due to weather. They just popped up in a bar in Las Vegas and played their first show in 15 years. They played in a bar for like 150 people. That feeling to me is one of the cooler things, one of the things I feel most great about and you could maybe bet on. And the other small thing that some people have started to notice is like a more announced but still a surprise thing. So someone we're really excited to bring. So Patrick Walker, who plays as 40 Watt Sun, has not played in Canada in a significantly long time. He's coming over to play the festival. If somebody had an eagle eye, they would have noticed that he's playing both Friday and Sunday announced. He is listed on both days. The thing that I can say is that both of those sets are going to be wildly different and incredibly special in a way that I still have trouble comprehending. And it's just small things like that that to me make a huge difference when it comes to a just here's a band, go see the band, have a nice day, and a festival experience.
You know, if I could pause for a moment, let me just say how refreshing it is to hear people who seem to actually be very into the music that's happening talk about a festival that they're setting up. Because I'm in Montreal, I've spoken with the people that do did Heavy Montreal. And it's like, yeah, it was clear that they, you know, liked putting on Heavy Montreal. But also, like, you know, it just kind of wasn't there. It was like, oh, this is our job. We have to do it. Like, I feel like there is a real genuine passion coming off of the two of you. And I very much enjoy that.
I'm the one that's like shaking in the corner being like, we have to do this. This has to work. I'm that person. And then KW like inspires me out of my anxieties every few days.
We're both fairly terrified, but also like this is for both of us. Like the truth is to be flat out, this is the world we live in. Denholm like puts on 200 plus shows a year in Toronto as well, plays in a Juno-nominated dark wave band that is unique and vibrant and fun on their own. And he swims in these waters. This is what he lives in on a day-to-day basis. I manage bands. My whole job is to foster creativity and help somebody who is talented and wonderful and kind and make sure that all they have to do is focus on to be creative for a living and take care of the other things. I'm a manager for a living. That's what I do. I also play in a band that, again, swims in these waters. We're heavy. We're under the radar. So when it comes down to kind of curating a festival, we were able to really mesh our worlds together. And again, the big tagline we have is like, this isn't a specific subgenre we were going for. This is very much heavy. It's not heavy as a dedication to distortion. It's heavy as in communal catharsis. I am a firm believer that someone like Marissa Nadler, who's been around forever and released so many just gut-wrenching songs, or Cinderwell, who you may not, like a lot of people may not know, but is a Irish-American singer-songwriter whose Irish-spun folktales just like pull at every single heartstring, are just as heavy as like Thorn, who are, you know, playing their first show in 6 years, who you couldn't get heavier and louder than. So I just think that like heavy, I don't know, heavy's not a binary. Heavy's not a monolith, as much as we love monolithic heavy stuff. It is a large spectrum of sounds and feelings. And I think that as an ethos for a music festival is something that both Denholm and I could get really behind. And that's just what we really wanted to foster. And like thinking about our roster of bands that are playing this thing for year one, it feels like we were able to accomplish that. And to be a little coy, year two is shaping up pretty great as well.
Already plans for year two. I love this. It's going to be at least 2 years. Good. I've enjoyed that. It is interesting because when I first looked at this, I'm like, oh, there has to be some sort of like joint planning on this, because like there's a lot of the heaviness that comes with like, you know, say a Vile Creature pillar that's there. We'll say there's different pillars that are here, and then more of like a darker electronical field. Electronical, did I say that's not a word at all?
It works.
Let's just act like it's a word that Adonis would be part of. I know that KW, you're the one that kind of booked a bunch of this, but Denholm, did you say like, hey, I would like, you know, some of these bands to be there? Or was this just like, you know, KW, you're like, I like all these bands, I'm just going to book them. And it was just like, yeah, sure, go ahead, do that.
Yeah, this, I think KW kind of had it in their mind to have like, yeah, different, you know, it's like having a heavy fest, but it shows what the spectrum of heavy is and represents, you know, the wide range that exists there. I think in every era, I'm not going to speak for programming really, but I'm going to right now anyway. But yeah, I think long-term, I think the festival will change, but for at least this year, you know, we really wanted to best represent the variety of heavy music that exists.
I would tend to agree with that. Again, that spectrum is super wide this year. Yes. You know, we had the opportunity to book the reunion show for Orchid, who haven't played in 25 years, and it's kind of a hard thing to pass up on. And like, I think Scrams/Screamo, however you want to phrase the genre, is like super valid, super wonderful, and a really phenomenal like vehicle for emotion. Agreed. But like, we also have a really great Scrams festival in Toronto already, in New Friends Fest. And it might not be a genre that's featured super heavily in year two. Like, we're not shy about saying our goal is for this festival to exist. Our goal is for this to happen the same weekend, annually, period. And for this to just be something that grows within the community and grows as organically as possible. But I do think something that I get a lot of inspiration from Roadburn on is no year is the same, whether it's the genre, the bands, the headliners. You kind of let what's happening in music, what's happening currently, what you're inspired by on the, it's not even like the top bands on the bill is what, like, you know, your quote unquote, like 4, 5, 6 headliners isn't what dictates the rest of it. It's really the 20, 30 small bands that are really saying something that, you know, you have to have. How can we best service them and bring them into a larger audience kind of ends up helping you curate how that festival is going to sound.